Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. LegalShield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? LegalShield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
We've become a bit obsessed with China around here, and actually, if you're not a bit obsessed with China, I think you're missing out on the story of the century, as it is a country that actually has the ability to compete with us economically and militarily, is hell-bent on doing so, and is run by an evil dictatorship. If that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what would.
Well, what could lead us to anything but forceful rejection of that country and that leadership? Well, trillions of dollars in trade tends to make you feel a little more ambivalent about evil. But to discuss that and many other topics, Ying Ma joins us. Ying Ma, the author of Chinese Girl in the Ghetto, contributor to Fox News, Washington Examiner, NBC.com, former columnist for The Wall Street Journal's China blog, among a number of other interesting positions. Welcome. How are you?
Good. Good morning to you both. Great to be back on with you.
It's been too long.
I know. My gosh. I remember last time I was here, we were in the middle of the 2016 campaign, and I was right in the middle of that working for the Ben Carson campaign and the pro-Trump super PAC. And
we're now
back in another election year.
Oh, boy.
So I was reading a little of your bio stuff yesterday, and you grew up under Mao.
I did.
And there was a phrase in there, and I don't know if you wrote it or whoever was writing about you wrote it, but, you know, on the during the burgeoning time of becoming a capitalist society. So what year did you leave China? And at that time, did it seem like it was heading the way of capitalism?
I left in the mid-80s, and so what was happening back then was the 80s was actually a great era, because that was a time when a lot...
Parachute pants, Madonna, it was a great era.
We had all that in China, too.
Wow!
No, I'm kidding. But the people of China aspired to have all that, and I think what was interesting about the 80s was that it was when China actually really got going with its economic reforms. And so there were lots of firsts, you know, the first time people got to choose where to work, where to live, you know, what to buy on the market. And those were very the very, very first beginnings with baby steps. And so I certainly it was not full blown capitalism in in any way. But what was happening was that capitalism was introduced to a very repressive, very closed off society. And so, you know, for instance, did you know that for the longest time, farmers in China couldn't keep profits from, you know, from their crops? And then so profit incentives were actually introduced in the 80s. And so from it was from that era that China embarked on the road of what's called reform and opening. And you know, and it's one of the reasons why China grew into the economic giant that it is today.
Well, when they allowed incentives for production, production exploded.
Indeed.
Which
indeed.
Is not surprising.
You would think that would keep a country from wanting to head back towards socialism when you got that perfectly good example of how capitalism works. But.
Well, I think they are very well, I think one thing that they're very fond of is that nobody in China is opposed to making any opposed to making money. And that goes for the Chinese Communist Party. They've now come to realize how much money can buy. It buys you influence overseas. It makes the party stronger. And, you know, the good thing about introducing capitalism in China is that a lot of the Chinese people who have this great entrepreneurial spirit, they got to know what it is like to run their own business, to actually, you know, to actually participate in the market.
Okay, well, there's the question then right there. So the Stalin and Lenin and his crew, they in Russia, they were actually communists.
Indeed.
It is now known from their own personal writings and everything. They actually believed in communism.
Indeed.
And then they were trying to carry that out. The Communist Party in China, are they actually communists?
Oh,
or
absolutely.
They are actually
absolutely.
Communists.
They are a new and improved version of communism. And I think there is a lot of sophistication and a lot of complexity that's not often understood. And you've got all kinds of idiots running around saying China's no longer a communist country. That is absolutely not true, because I think at the core of it, communism is about control. It is about controlling the ideas of the people who live under it. It is about controlling their lives, and it is about all kinds of things. And the Communist Party has at no point decided that it wants to cede political power in any way. And so it is absolutely adamant about keeping that control. What it has done is that it has realized that if it kept on going the way that it did in the Cultural Revolution or the Great Leap Forward back in the 50s and 60s, all of its people were starving to death, and that is no way to run a country. And so it has decided to, over the past 40 years, to introduce elements of market reform. But it is not at all a free market society, because, you know, in the middle of all those market reform elements, the state continues to maintain control of vast chunks of the economy. And so the sophistication in all this is that the Chinese government has managed to find a way to make this sort of reforms work, to generate profits, to generate wealth, to generate influence, without having to face what the former Soviet Union faced, which is an overthrow of the regime.
Well, and as a regime, to balance the openness to the free market and the global market with the political control, there has to be an enormous sophistication.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
To the control mechanisms.
Yes.
And you know, it's almost like recognizing that Hitler's war machine sweeping across Europe was a stunning bit of military planning. I mean, as loathsome and horrific as it was, it's just undeniably impressive. The Chinese regime, you got to admire them. That's almost impossible what they're doing right now.
There is so much sophistication. And you know, I think it's important to recognize that. So even though there has been all these new forms of liberation that didn't used to exist, right? That people have more opportunities to live where they want to live, to buy what they want to buy, to say what they want to say in private. But what the regime has done is that it has continued to exert control in other ways. It's now, you know, it now censors the internet. The internet did not exist when I, you know, was growing up in China. It now has very sophisticated surveillance technology, supplied in part by Western companies that want to make a profit in China. And it is able to figure out where its citizens go, what they're doing, you know, what trains they hop on and what trains they're. So, you know, there is this social credit system in China that if you do things that the Chinese government does not like, there are all kinds of ways that it could impede upon your ability to do basic things like buy plane tickets, for instance. So it is a vastly sophisticated state in a way that I think a lot of people don't understand.
Have you ever been to one of those wet bat markets? Where the coronavirus started.
I've been to all kinds of wet markets, and I've eaten all kinds of things that you probably don't want to
ever
know
sampled
about.
The delicious pangolin that they think is at the center of
that? That I have not. I can, however, you know, tell you all kinds of ways that people kill animals in their own homes in order to eat them, and you know, and so during the days when I used to grow up, people actually ate their pets in China, and you know, and I
regularly.
That was not
an eye-opening experience at all.
And I had, you know, even though I was in the middle of the third largest city in China, I had chickens in my kitchen that we would grab and kill if we wanted a meal from time to time. That's pretty common as well. It's no longer the case now, but wet markets are quite common. They're still enjoyed by the Chinese people. And it's, you know, but I hear that, you know, the government wants to get rid of them because they're now just a hotbed for diseases.
Yeah. So we were emailing yesterday, and you told me the story about this MMA fighter.
Yes.
And
yes.
A journalist and the coronavirus. We're going to take a little break, but we got to hear this story. This is what the Chinese Communist Party is capable of doing. It features a wet bat market and MMA fighting.
It's just all the wet market. It's not wet bats. Everything's wet.
All the elements of a story that you need to keep you to stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
If you get a chance to pick up a copy of Chinese Girl in the Ghetto by Ying Ma, you should absolutely read it for a number of different reasons. It's super interesting about China. It's super interesting about the United States as seen through the eyes of an immigrant and race relations and all sorts of great stuff. But Ying Ma joins us to talk about China and all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, this story, because we were emailing yesterday, this kind of encompasses a couple of things that are in the news. Coronavirus, the communist government, what Xi's government's willing to do. Tell the story.
Well, so, and it encompasses MMA, which I know is a big deal for lots of people across this country. So let me start with the coronavirus. I mean, as we all know, it's really become such a big problem. There are 75,000 cases in China that we know of.
Are the numbers coming out of China at all reliable?
You know, the answer is we can't possibly just believe what they tell us. Okay. But even if we don't, 75,000 is a lot.
Right.
I mean,
fair
already
enough. Okay.
That's what they're admitting to. And then the death toll is over 200. Right. And so there are a couple of citizen journalists that have gone to the epicenter of the virus and have tried to done sort of YouTube videos and others to try to get the word out, figure out what's going on. And they've been disappeared by the authorities.
Oh, boy. They've been disappeared.
Yes, that's the word that, and speaking of China being a communist country, this is a word that's commonly used in the former Soviet Union, as well as other countries behind the Iron Curtain in the old days. That still happens in China. So don't anybody sort of get into the temptation of thinking that communism doesn't continue to exist in China.
And are they likely in a prison camp or dead?
We don't know, because when people were disappeared, we have no idea where they are and what was their offense. They actually risked their lives to go to these hospitals where all these people are dying with this coronavirus that we don't know very much about. And they reported all kinds of things that we other people, including journalists from the New York Times, had no idea of, which is one, that there is a shortage of hospital beds. Two, there is a shortage of test kits. And so at the epicenter of the city where this virus started, you know, it becomes a problem, right? When you see corpses lying around in hospitals and they're not being cleared quickly enough, or that within a day, you know, from at a major hospital, you see the number of corpses go from 2 to 8 in a short amount of time. That's the kind of reporting that some of these journalists have done. And what did the authorities do? Well, they rounded them up. And now here's where the MMA guy gets involved. You know, this is actually a fascinating story with all these different angles. And for those of you who do any kind of martial arts, MMA is different, I think. And let me make a side tangent here. A lot of people have complained that even though Chinese martial arts has this distinguished history, you know, you've got all these people.
I've seen Kung Fu Panda.
There you go, right?
Oh,
but
boy.
one of the biggest critiques of traditional Chinese martial arts is that, is it practical? Can you fight? If a Chinese martial artist, all these people with their fancy moves, get into the octagon, can you actually fight? And so there is this Chinese MMA fighter in China who have taken it upon himself to expose the fraud, the frauds of Chinese martial arts, which is to say that and so
his words are yours. Do you think it's a fraud or it's his words.
He feels that many of these esteemed masters in China can't fight, and he's challenged them to real fights. And this is a guy, his name is Xu Xiaodong, and this is a guy who became famous because a couple of years ago he knocked out a Tai Chi master in 20 seconds. And since then, he's gone on to challenge other masters. And so he's cocky, he's arrogant, he's obnoxious and outright disrespectful. But he happens to be friends with one of the citizen journalists who was disappeared. And this MMA fighter actually is one of the few people who actually has put his face on a video to say to the world that this person, you know, this friend of mine is doing this. He was trying to tell the truth about the coronavirus, and the government rounded him up. And the government, you know, used the excuse that this man was infected with the virus and hence he was quarantined. And the MMA fighter says that's complete BS. And so
he might be famous enough that they can't disappear him. That's what he has going for him.
Well, his whole point was, I'm going to put this all out there and they're going to come after me, but this is my insurance policy. I don't know how well that's
maybe he could fight Xi. Would Xi fight him?
Xi would just, I think Xi has enough people with guns and
beat the honey out of Winnie the Pooh, huh? Hey, listen, as long as we're kind of on the topic, I've heard it said that this is fomenting serious, possibly dangerous to the regime levels of unrest. Will the steam be let off and things go back to normal, or do you think this has the potential to drive real change?
I would say it's fomenting serious discontent. Unrest, I don't think it's gotten to the level of unrest yet. When you're talking about unrest, I'm thinking about mass protests, rallies. That's
what we saw in Hong Kong.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up Hong Kong, because I think and this MMA fighter, when the Hong Kong protests were at their height, he actually went out there and publicly supported the protesters in Hong Kong, which is a very rare feat as well. Wow. You don't see Jackie Chan doing that. Jackie Chan is running around condemning the protesters. Mm. And so I think it sometimes takes people who are a little bit crazy and perhaps kind of obnoxious in order to challenge the status quo, to have the courage to actually say to this powerful government, to give the government the middle finger. Now, when it comes to unrest and discontent in China, you are absolutely right that this epidemic has stirred up all kinds of unrest. People have been calling for freedom of speech, because if they don't have freedom of speech, people die. You know, the government has been covering up the extent of the illness. And so there's a lot of that. But I think what it reminds us of is that people who foment unrest or who challenge the government, they don't just do it as sort of a concept. It helps a lot more when their lives are at stake.
It's a motivator.
And so I think for a lot of people in China, I don't think they actually, many people in China were not firmly behind the protesters in Hong Kong for a number of reasons. But I think with something like this, where their lives are at stake, it's stirred up all kinds of hostility toward the regime and all kinds of people asking the regime to actually, make reforms.
We are just about out of time with Ying Ma, author of Chinese Girl in the Ghetto, contributor to FoxNews.com, Washington Examiner, NBC News.
Where do you want people to find you? Your website, your Twitter, your whatever?
So on Twitter, I am at GZTO Ghetto, GZ2Ghetto. And my website is yingma.org. That is YINGMA.org.
We'll have the links at armstrongandgetty.com so people can find them
easily.
When
I have a question about a story in the news about China or a book or whatever, she's the one that I always email or text or whatever and say, what do you think about this?
You realize he only orders sweet and sour pork, right? Have you heard that? It's the only Chinese food he ever orders.
No, but I thought when I was on with you guys, when my book first came out, we agreed that I would take Jack to a Chinese restaurant, an authentic Chinese restaurant.
Do they have sweet and sour pork?
Oh, boy. All right. Now we are out of time. This is ridiculous. This is terrible. But this is the ugly American right here.
But I can try the real authentic. Or take me to a wet bat market. I want to check one of those out.
You and your
maybe when the coronavirus is over.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Armstrong and Getty.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.